Stand with us as we worship.
Thank you.
morning. Blessings to you all this morning. Please welcome those around you, and then you may be seated.
Well, welcome everyone to church service this morning. It's so good to see all of you. This was Clinton Tave's turn to do the service leading this morning, but he texted me last night. Jody has gone off to Wichita for another treatment for the after effects of the Lyme disease, and I think it's a good thing she was able to go by herself this time, but she left behind a sick Aaron Taves, and so Clinton has his hands full over there, and I said that I would lead the service for him, and I'm going to pray for that family. Now, Alice Clausen has just waved at me, and she has an announcement, so I'm going to call her up, and then I have a couple things myself.
Yeah, I have to wave because I never get my act together in time to get it on the list. So, plans are underway and they're falling into place very well for our ladies' banquet coming up on December 6th. The doors open at 5:30 and supper's at 6. Our donations this year will be greatly accepted for both the Acme Linden Food Bank and the Olds Pregnancy Center. A list of specific needs is available at the Welcome Center, and tickets will be on sale for $5 after church today and next Sunday as well at the Welcome Center, and we'll also leave some at OK Tire for those of you who don't have money today or whatever. We again ask for your prayers for this event, that God's word will be heard, and that the women who come will be blessed. Please pray for our speaker as well, and we're looking forward to seeing all of you ladies there.
Thank you, Alice. Also, a thank you from Richard and Tanya Thiessen for all the people who helped them move yesterday from Acme to Linden. I asked the girls if they had walked to church this morning, but no, it was still a bit too cold, so they drove the three blocks that they now live from the church here. Also, a special guest in Rudy Heidebrecht. I have to mention that you are here. He has been a mentor to me all the years that I have been a pastor, was the one who installed me at Westview Community Church in Grassy Lake 16 years ago. I guess I have to mention that there's another Grassy Lake pastor sitting over here in Phil Vorn. So some Grassy Lake connections in the church service this morning. We have made a couple very big announcements here. First of all, that this winter we are going to be doing what used to be called refocusing, now clarity, and this coming weekend is personal clarity. Then last Sunday, we announced that we are going to take our senior high youth to Belize over the Easter break, and that there are applications, and there is now 2 weeks left for people to get those applications in so that we know who those youth will be that will go with us. So do get those in, put them on my desk. And then we've got a third big announcement, and I wrote it out because I have a lot of information to say. And I'm excited about it because it's been in the works for quite a while. This last spring, on their last day, the Moms Time Out group organized a meal together in the basement, and as a sometime caregiver, I was invited to attend. My table got talking about good memories of when, as kids, they went to church family camp, and there was a wish that our church could do it again. And then, before my very eyes, the moms at the table planned out a church family camp. Now, I too have a great interest in a weekend retreat in which church people have a chance to spend a much longer amount of time together than just this hour Sunday morning. So I looked for more people interested in organizing a church family camp, and we were able to pull together an encouragingly large team. So my wife Carla, Kelly and Donna Steffen, Tyler and Diana Gerritsen, Colby and Kim Wolf, Clint and Jody Taves, Stephen and Brenda Woodall, Nikki Sikorsky, Dave and Nicole Padgett. And I should say that if you want to be part of planning this thing, you should let me know. It's a lot of fun. This summer, then, we went to a lot of work trying to find a camp and a weekend. We visited quite a few camps, and some several times. As for our own church camp, Camp Evergreen, they would very much like us to have us come, but at present their weekends are full. In the end, we think we found what we needed at Salem Acres, and I have a slide here of where it is. So bottom left corner is home, that's here. And if you go north of Three Hills, Trochu, and then turn right after Elnora and come to the Red Deer River Valley, that's where Salem Acres is. It's about a 50-minute drive. So we chose it because it is less than an hour's drive, and that was one of our conditions. They can feed us all. They have lots to do, and that's important because we have a lot of children and youth going. It is a really beautiful setting, the next slide. It sits on the Red Deer River Valley, and it's gorgeous. It has a director, Anthony Martin, who is fully committed to helping us make this work. So we booked the camp for Labor Day weekend, September 1st to 3rd. In your church mailbox is a blue slip with the dates marked on it. The blue slip asks, first of all, if you could come, would you? This will help us get a feel for numbers. Second, would you be able to bring an RV? Salem Acres can put 17 families in rooms, but after that we are dependent on people to bring their own holiday trailers or tents or whatever, and we need to know where we are with that. So those are the two questions on that blue slip. It is not a commitment that you are going. We just want to know if you could go, would you? Not only as an opportunity for fellowship, we want this to be a time of spiritual encouragement and challenge, a time to meet God through worship and preaching. Now that we have a place, we are looking for a speaker who opens God's word to us in a new and powerful way. I imagine that there will be neighbors, you know, who won't come to a Sunday morning service but might consider a church family camp. You should feel free to invite them. A weekend retreat is a good way to meet and learn to trust church family people. As for cost, I cannot promise anything yet, but if we take what we think the total cost of the weekend will be to the church, subtract the subsidy that the church is putting in, and divide by the number of adults, we get $105 per adult for the weekend, which I think is very reasonable. We hope as many as possible choose to stay the entire weekend, but there will be some who want their own beds at night, and we invite you to come Sunday morning for the church service and for lunch. What have I forgotten, team? Church family camp. Church family camp. Yes, everybody is welcome to come. Yes. Thank you, Diana. Anything else? All right. So those blue slips in your box, you can put them in the box of Kim Wolf, and then we'll collect them and we'll get a sense of how this is going to play out. I'll call the ushers forward. Ushers? They emerge. Chris Wood is ushering. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this morning together in which we are reminded in many wonderful ways how great you are. We look at some of the things that we need to pray about, and first of all for Jody as she spends this week in Wichita, that she would get a lot of rest, and that she would be healed and that she would come back strong. Just pray for Clint as he looks after sick little Aaron, that you would give him patience and that Aaron would get better soon. And just be present to that family. Pray for Helen Thiessen, that you would be her constant companion and guide, that she would know and sense that you are always present to her. For Rachel Notley as our premier, that she would remember that you have a great interest in what she is doing, that you are willing to help her. May she turn to you and fear you and follow you, turn to your wisdom in leading this province. For Sydney Ratzliff, who is at Ambrose University studying, we just think a lot of her and pray that you would guide her and lead her and that she'd have a constant sense that you are working with her. Pray that she would enjoy what she is doing, she and Joel. Just pray for great love between them as a married couple. And for Vic Thiessen with African Children's Choir, Lord, thank you for this calling that you've placed so strongly on his heart, how he just loves what he's doing. I pray that year after year, month after month, he would see good result from his commitment and dedication and faithfulness to this good work. Thank you so much for how you bless us with income and money. And through this offering, we just want to say that we know where it comes from. It comes from you. You are so good to us. Amen. Now I'll call the kids up to the front. Okay, I want you to do some detective work. I'm going to give you the clues, and I want you to tell me why, what is going on. First of all, you will notice that under the cross up there that the decorations are gone, and that there is a microphone stuck over that little glass barrier. Can anyone tell me what is going on? Yes.
People are getting baptized.
That's right. People are getting baptized. There's three of them. That's always a great thing because it is there. What is a baptism? I got a red light on this microphone, so you tell me and I'll tell everybody what you said. Aubrey, yes. Baptism is when people go into the water and get baptized. That's right. Why do people do that? Isn't that kind of strange? Do you know what? They're going to be wearing their clothes. I'm going to be wearing my clothes, and I'm going to go in. Not even a swimsuit. Yes? That's right. They're showing that they have been cleansed of their sins. That's a good answer. Yes, Rosie? Do you know what? I really like that. So can you just say it once more in here?
They're sharing God's word around the world.
You said at the beginning that they are telling everybody. And that's what it is. They're doing it in front of everybody. Good. Anyone else? Jack, you got an answer?
People get baptized.
People are getting baptized. That's right. All right. Very good. Now, because it's a neat thing for young people too, there is Sunday school if you are in grade 1 or 2, but if you are in grade 3 to 6, we would like you to stay up and see what happens. So I'm going to pray, and then you can head in your different directions. Let's fold our hands and close our eyes. Dear Lord, thank you for this great day in which people are going to be baptized. They're going to go into the water, and by this way say to all of us, that they want to follow you and are going to follow you. So I pray that would be inspiration even to these kids here to see older people make this decision that this is the best thing in life, to follow you, Jesus. Amen. All right, you can head back.
Bye, Pastor Chris.
Bye, Aubrey. So I'm sorry that it's so much of me at the beginning here. I do promise that I will turn it over to those who have some really powerful testimonies to come up and share those. But I just wanted to do one more thing, and that was to introduce the baptisms that are coming up. We have been in a sermon series in Galatians, and baptism gets one mention in Galatians. So I wanted to read that. I've got a slide for it, and I'll read it off the slide. It's in Galatians 3, 26 to 28. Says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are heirs according to the promise." And what it is saying there here is that there are ordinary ways in which we grew up, in which we measure who is more important than other people. Back in the days of Paul, it was, did you have a Jewish background or a Gentile background? Were you a slave or free? Were you male or female? And in this way, it was judged as to who was the more important person. But what happens when you come into Christ, when you are baptized into Christ, is all of those things are sunk in the water and they don't come back out. Something else matters. And that is the faith in Jesus Christ. And we have our ways of measuring, well, just having grown up in the world. The world says this person is more important than this person. But that gets gone in the water. And you come out, and what matters is that you are in Christ Jesus. You become heirs according to the promise. Sons of God through faith. That's what Galatians is using baptism for. And I find it very appropriate for this morning, because you will see in the testimonies that we have about as varied baptismal candidates as you could possibly imagine. They are coming from very different areas, old, young, this, that. And they will come up and tell you stories, and they will all be very, very different. And you just wonder, how can you bring three such very different people into one faith? But that is what Jesus does. That is what he does. So I'm just excited to hear these testimonies, because it works out these verses here where it says, this standard and that standard I now no longer apply. What matters is coming to Jesus, and everybody is able to do that. Whether you are Samaya, whether you are Tucker, whether you are Caleb, you can come to Jesus, be baptized into the one faith, and be saved with him. Before we hear from them, a brief explanation of what baptism is. We had some good answers from the kids just now. Baptism is a public, outward demonstration of a real inward salvation. If one were to try and show what salvation is, one could not do better than baptism. In baptism, we show how the old life is sunk into the water and it dies. And then we show how the person is raised up again into new life. And it represents that utter break between an old life lived selfishly and in obedience to the world, and now a new life lived unselfishly and in obedience to Christ. It displays the very center of what it means to be a Christian. It is not the salvation itself, but it shows it in a wonderful and powerful way. We have three candidates. We also are going to include two new members, and that's Carrie and Stephanie Willis. That's an exciting thing too. So I'm going to invite all five of you to come stand up on the stage here, and then one after the other, we'll have you give your testimonies. There's Carrie and Stephanie. Samaya, come up. Caleb and Tucker. Good. Go ahead.
Good morning. Most of you know me. I'm Pastor Carey. But here this morning, like Pastor Chris just said, Stephanie and I are becoming church members, and we are very excited about that. So he wanted us just to share a brief testimony, each of us, about our lives. I grew up in Edmonton, grew up in a Christian home, went to a Christian school, and as if you guys have been here for the last number of months while I've been preaching, you've probably heard little snippets of different parts of my life. But when I was young, I felt like Christianity was a moral code, that I had to do the right things in order to be accepted by God. And if I didn't do the right things, then I wasn't accepted. But if I did the right things, I felt I was good enough, and that was all I needed. But then, when I was 18 years old, I turned away from God, and I tried to run. And I got into all sorts of trouble. And it was interesting. During that time, the Lord was still pursuing me. A few nights ago, we got to share at story night at Byron and Donna's house, and just sharing that while I was running from God, I was still attending church, but I wasn't comfortable sitting in church. But the interesting thing, I wasn't comfortable because I wasn't being convicted by the pastor. I was doing wrong, but in this church, it was a very watered-down version of the gospel. And I then started moving from church to church, trying to find a church where I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because I knew what I was doing was wrong, and I knew that I was supposed to be back with God and following Him. And after a year or two of searching, I found a church, and I felt at home, and I then began to see my life get back into shape. I started giving up the old ways and following the Lord more and more wholeheartedly. About a year into that journey, I was attending five Bible studies every week and three church services. I was just trying to get as much of God and of Christian community as I could. And I just realized the other week that I was actually, the church that I was baptized in was an MB church in Edmonton. And so I think that's funny that I've already been baptized in the MB. But yeah, so that was kind of when I came back to God. I was about 20 years old. And it's just been an incredible adventure ever since. I got married a year or two later to Stephanie, and God has taken us all over the world as we've just tried to step out in faith and follow where He leads. And now He has led us here, so we're very excited to be here, and thank you guys for welcoming us.
I'm Stephanie Wills, and I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor my whole life, still is. And actually, speaking of family camp, I was saved at a family camp when I was 7. So since then, I kind of jumped in with blind faith and have followed God very closely throughout my high school years and leading other young women. And then after high school, got married to Carrie in university, and then kind of went on a journey of figuring out my faith in a more real way to me, kind of went on a downward slope. So after that, kind of fell away from God a little bit, still believed in Him, but had a lot of doubts. And so over the last couple of years, God has really been testing me and teaching me to trust in Him even through the hard times, and now I'm here, and God's totally provided this job for Carrie, which has been amazing for us, and we're super excited to become members of this church. So,
I am Caleb Thiessen, son of Keith and Jonquil Thiessen. I was born and raised in a Christian family. My parents taught me to be kind to others, pray, and worship God. When I was 5 years old, I accepted Jesus into my life, but I never fully knew what it meant. I only knew that I wanted Jesus to be my friend. At 6 years old, I went to Camp Evergreen to learn more about Jesus. and why he died and rose again. I learned to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before my God, Micah 6, verse 8. Camp Evergreen has taught me how to serve others. As I got older, I understood better why I needed Jesus in my life. I enjoy serving in the church in different ways. Last year, my cousin Rosie got baptized, and she inspired me to get baptized myself. It doesn't matter how old you are, the only thing that matters is a confession to faith which comes from my own heart. My favorite verses are John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only and one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I know I'm not perfect, but I will continue to learn and grow."
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here today with us. Thank you for being here with us and sharing this very special day. My name is Samai Hamoud, and I would like to share a little bit about myself. I was told that I only have 4 minutes, so I won't make it painful. I've always had a good relationship with God, actually a great one. I know that God cannot be taught. You cannot teach God to anyone. The love you have for him is either there or is not. In the past year or so, my faith has been tested over and over again, but I never let God go. I kept him beside me. I have and still have endured various issues about my physical and mental and financial difficulties. But when Pastor Chris approached me about being baptized, I was elated and humbled at the same time. I felt blessed to be a part of a much bigger family. Not only I have been coming to church on Sundays, but on Tuesdays. I started a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and did not know that the level of love I had for him existed. Today I'm absolutely ready to accept and give my life and myself to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. He has already filled a void in my life. I need Jesus to surround me with his love. I need him to guide me and help me to make decisions when I myself may be weak or confused. By giving him all myself, I know that everything will be okay. Today I will shed all of my past worldly sins and be born again in his grace. I would like to share a passage from the Bible, Psalm 5, 2-3, 11 and 12. "Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to not one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my requests to you and await expectantly. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them, and all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love." I would like to thank everyone who helped me through this tough times when I broke my ankle. It took 8 to 9 weeks to mend, and it's still not quite there yet. I'd like to thank Jake for helping me cut my grass when I never was able to. Caroline, Kathy, Annette, who yesterday phoned me and reminded me it was baptism day today and make sure I was here. And many others who I've missed. I'm sorry, but I only have 4 minutes up here, so, and you know who you are. A special thanks to Pastor Chris and Donna and Byron Taze. Donna and Byron Taze were there when I needed them most, when I had a horrific incident happen in my life. Donna, who every day takes the time to either phone or text me. Donna is the one who introduced me to the church and to Jesus Christ our Lord. Pastor Chris, who always had the time for me when I needed guidance. I know that I walk with more pride than I ever have before because I walk with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by my side. Thank you very much for being here today. That's it.
Hello. For those that don't know me, my name is Tucker Leinweber. I am the son of Kurt and Tracy Leinweber and was raised attending this church. As I was growing up, I went through the rebellious stages kids often do, but always remained a fairly consistent attender of church. I had accepted that Jesus had died for my sins, and I felt that as long as I believed this, I could continue on with the nice life I had going, and he could bail me out if I came into trouble. Obviously, this seems very foolish now, but at the time, I felt I had hit the bullseye, as my struggles seemed fairly manageable, so God must be happy enough with me. Thankfully, I did begin to develop a better understanding of what it meant to be a Christian. Through my time at college and university, I had a number of people come into my life that both challenged and encouraged me in my walk with God. It was then that I began to step back and look at the many Christian people who had influenced me throughout my life and take time to personally study the Bible for myself and develop a more accurate idea of what it meant to walk with Christ. I've been blessed to be surrounded by so many positive Christian influences. My wife Janelle has been the woman of my dreams that challenges me and leads by example in her walk with Christ, inspiring me on a regular basis. As well as Janelle, there are two people that have shaped me as a Christian believer, and without their influence, I would not be the man I am now. The first is my dad. He has been the definition of a Christian leader in my life. Self-control, faithfulness, and love are modeled on a regular basis in a way that cannot be ignored. And I look to him for guidance often. The second influence was my father-in-law, Danny. He pushed me in my faith by how he simply lived his life. He asked the hard questions and was never afraid to show his faith to anyone. He was a Christian man that showed love to all and truly lived a life for God. Sports, particularly volleyball, has been a great part of my life. I grew a deep love for the game and all that went with it. There are many positive lessons I learned through this love. However, it did breed an addiction to winning that I could never satisfy. Although I often questioned whether this passion was a positive in my life, I always felt that God was encouraging me in it. I consistently prayed before every game and practice for 5 years of volleyball and felt like these were the times where I was deeply connected with God. Despite this connection, I seemed to leave brokenhearted year after year, losing important games in dramatic fashion and not understanding why. Feeling as if I had been cheated out of the joy of winning. In my final year of playing volleyball, my addiction was put to rest. As our team was finishing up one of our last practices before the season playoffs began, I received a call from Janelle that changed my life forever. Her father, Danny, had passed away in a car accident. This blew open the doors of my world. I ran out of the room to my car, and as I reached my vehicle, I found myself shaking at the steering wheel, desperately praying and pleading with God to help me offer some sort of comfort to Janelle. I was engaged to the woman of my dreams, and in her most desperate hour, I had nothing for her. I had never felt more helpless in my life. It was a time where I truly felt that the only hope I had was in God, and that everything I'd done to this point seemed meaningless, and all I wanted was for God to give me the strength to be the man Janelle needed at this time. Despite what had happened, I was encouraged by Janelle to go and finish the season with the team I was a part of, and 2 days after the funeral of Janelle's father, we won the game I had craved for over a decade. The stage was perfect, and everything went along like I had dreamt it. Friends and family were there congratulating me, and what I had surely known would be one of the happiest moments of my life was hollow and empty. It went from everything to nothing in a moment. I did not want to accept that this thing I could desire so greatly could suddenly be so meaningless, but it was painfully obvious that this desire was just that. There are areas in the Bible where the subject of earthly treasures is mentioned, but the truth is pointed out in an obvious fashion in Matthew 6, verse 21, when Jesus says, "For where your heart is, there your treasure would be also." This point was made painfully clear at this time. My selfish desires on earth are worthless. My passion continues for volleyball, but God has completely changed the lens on how I see sport and how it can be used to draw people closer to God rather than self-glory. Through my faith in God, I have felt Him soften my heart to be a more caring person that serves those around me. I often feel that this is my weakness, and I fall short in being the loving man and husband I was meant to be. However, I will strive to allow God to lead me through this life and show me how to love as He desires me to.
Thank you. Carrie and Stephanie, we will call on you a little bit later. Samaya and Tucker and Caleb, we're going to go through this tour. Okay. Okay. If you could just go through this door, call up the worship team.
You're welcome to stand with us again, if you would like.
Fearsest drought.
Come, Samaya. Samaya, do you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and are you willing to follow him in the fellowship of the church?
I do.
Then upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tucker, do you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and are you willing to follow him in the fellowship of the church?
I do.
Then upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Caleb, do you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and are you willing to follow him in the fellowship of the church?
I do.
Then upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you will do. In you, we find rest. We need you every day. Without you, we will fall apart. Walk with us, Lord, today. Amen.
Lord, I come, I
You may be seated. I'll call up Samaya, Caleb, and Tucker, and also Carrie and Stephanie Willis. Samaya just asked me just before we came out, so did we do okay? You did great. We have one last thing to do, and that is to welcome you as members of our church here. And so what I want to do is to shake each hand and welcome them individually. After that, we can applaud and welcome them in as a church. And then I would like to pray and bless all of you. So, Carrie, so good to have you in our local church family. Stephanie, so good to have you join us in our local church body here. Caleb, welcome here into our church family. So glad to have you. Tucker, so good to have you in our church family. Welcome. And welcome, Samaya, into our church family. Good to have you. I wondered if you would stand with me and pray with me for these five. Dear Lord Jesus, these are five precious souls on the stage, and they have, in their words and their actions, dedicated themselves to you. And I pray that you would fill their lives with many good things. How good it is to have Carrie and Stephanie Willis in our church. Pastoral couple, already they have brought so much good into this congregation, and we are so happy to have them. And then we think of this important step of baptism in front of friends and family and the congregation here, in front of the world, saying, this is the way that I want to lead my life. And I ask for your rich blessing on the lives of Caleb and Samaya and Tucker, that they would very quickly know that they are people who have been captured by you, that you have a purpose for them, that you are equipping them, putting all kinds of good things in their lives in order that they might serve you and do great things for your kingdom. So, Lord, pray for all five, that your blessing would be on their lives. We as a congregation, as we stand here together, wish them your very best. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. And a closing song.
You're welcome to stand if you want to.
Jesus, all for Jesus,
So to close, I wondered if the five, Carrie and Stephanie Willis, Caleb, Samaya, and Tucker, would come and stand up on the floor here across the front, and I invite all of you to come and welcome them personally and congratulate them. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You're dismissed.